Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Now, you would remember, if you were listening, that last week was the annual Family Togetherness Week of Prayer for Global Church, and the aim was to reaffirm the church's commitment to understanding and supporting the diverse needs of the family, with an emphasis this year on understanding the struggle of neurodivergent families. And so Irene Matandrua is going to be joining us, who has been quite open about her family's journey in this regard. And she joins us once again, to share more about how we as a society, as a church, can be better educated and more accommodating. So, Irene, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama, and good afternoon to your listeners. And it's good to touch base with you again.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. And by the way, those who are hearing it here for the first time, she's coming here from the Zakwande Foundation. And so for those of you who are hearing her for the first time, please tell us about yourself so that those may get to know you and how you got involved in autistic advocacy.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'm Irene Matandrua. I'm a mother to an autistic young man. He's 18 years old. And yes, it has been quite a difficult journey, but also a rewarding journey, because God has been there, has been with us throughout. Mm-hmm. And how I got involved is, I think as a parent, I made a decision from an early age to say that I'm going to help my child as much as I help my other children in their journey of life. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was quite clear, we are going to have cure for autism no matter what. Mm-hmm. He's going to be cured and he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And up until it dawned on me at some point. But nevertheless, we continued with the journey. And at the age of 14, my autistic young man, who is non-speaking, which means he communicates through a stencil where he points out to letters and then make words, sentences. So that's how he communicates. Mm-hmm. Then he told us that he would like to request that he leave school so he can be full-time on advocacy work, because he had identified a gap in the society in terms of those that are autistics and a voice that could talk to families, parents, children, and the society at large. So that's when we had Zakwande Foundation, which is the NGO that he runs. And we're supporting him there. So as a parent, that's how I got involved.
Oh, okay. No, that's lovely. We'll come back to the foundation just to know more about the work that you have been doing over the past, a period. Now, what have been some of the biggest, most misconceptions and unwarranted stereotypes that you've come across in your journey and experience?
So, firstly, I think every parent that is found themselves with an autistic child, they are in denial, they are hurt, and the level of just accepting becomes really difficult. So, I was reading an article the other day. 95% of divorce families, they have got a neurodivergent child, which is very sad. So for me, some of the things that I had to experience was, I think people were looking at me, more especially family, close family members, were kind of a little bit judgmental, that I was not a good parent, and I was failing to raise my child, to discipline my child. And some of the family members also suggested that, you know, in our cultures, there is a thing about, I'm just going to say as it is in our culture, wana ona lele bala, it's, you know, maybe we need, maybe this is a witchcraft. You get what I'm saying? And the acceptance and the difficulty of, you know, mixing with the society at the family level, also going out to restaurant was extremely very difficult. At some point we stopped doing that at all. We couldn't do that, and I think society was a little bit rough with me, the family first and foremost. When I talk about family, I talk about immediate family, from both sides, and relatives, and so everybody was just shunning away. So it was really difficult. And to make it, people to even, because they had just concluded that, you know, this child, and some even believe that this child is just so stupid, you know, and so on. So those are the things that as parents we have to navigate and make people closer to us to understand, make the society, whenever we go to the shops, whenever we go to restaurants, whenever we go to social settings and so on. I mean, we couldn't go to parties, we couldn't attend anything with this child. So those were the, some of the difficulties really in this journey of raising a child with autism.
Now, what are some of the unique needs and challenges that your family has faced in your journey?
I think firstly is acceptance. It took quite a while for those around us to really accept that, you know, myself, let me put myself first.
Right.
And I think that's where it starts. It took me a while to accept that my child is born autistic and he is going to be autistic. I did say earlier on when I opened up that my journey and my fight was very clear, my battle. I knew what I was fighting for up until I realized at some point. And up until at some point, he really said to me, I appreciate what you're doing, but the fact that you want to change me is not going to work. You got to accept me as I am. So some of the needs, obviously, for many families is school. We don't have enough school for children with autistic, not children with autism, because there is no one with autism. And that's what my son says, that I don't have autism, I am autistic. Because when you have something, somebody that has got HIV, it's something that they acquired.
Yes.
Somebody that has got TB, they have acquired it, whatever. So he says, I am born autistic. So don't refer to me as somebody with, because I am autistic.
I see.
So which means I am born like this. You have to accept. You're not going to separate me. If you want me to be something else, I don't know what it is and I don't want to go there. So the schooling environment, it's a difficult journey. I mean, I'm part of many autistic WhatsApp groups. Every day on that group, parents are saying, where can I take my child to, and so on. So we struggle with educational needs. We struggle with communication needs. We struggle with sensory integration and needs. We struggle for many parents, particularly those in the rural and remote areas, support really in terms of the, you know, the what we can get from the social system of our government. It's not, they're not really accessing it. So it becomes very, very, very difficult. And in those environments, I know in the deep rural areas, you still have, in South Africa, you still have children that are closed up in homes. They're not allowed to go out. And some of them, they're chained. Some of them, they are, it's a very sad story. So those are the needs of children with autism that we're struggling as a society to make sure that they are met.
And now, Irene, how can the church and society and other maybe like-minded organization be better equipped to be more understanding and welcoming of the strengths of neurodivergent people so as to also benefit from those strengths and gifts which are often overlooked?
I think this is a very important question, and I think this is the journey that we have to follow. So the family has got a very important role to play. So I think we need to support parents of children with autism, because then in the end we end up with a dysfunctional system of a family home. Because of autism and neurodiversity, as I said to you earlier on, that 95% of divorced families, they've got a neurodivergent child. So before we even get to that level, it is important for families to reach out to those institutions where they can find support in terms of knowing better about what they're dealing with, including diagnosis, including medication, including all sorts of interventions that are there. But acceptance is the most difficult, and that is what people really struggle with, because society also makes it more difficult. There is a problem that we got to deal with, the definition of normal, which is conforming to a particular standard or expected behavior. That ought to be challenged. So we're just coming out of COVID. We did not know what to do and so on. We adjusted to a particular environment. All of us, we said that is the new normal. Now, the reality is that if you look at the rate at which we are having kids with autism, society got to change. The mindset has to shift quite strongly at a family level, at the church level, at the societal level, at an institutional level, everywhere. And I think the church has got a responsibility to support those families. The church has a responsibility to ensure that everyone is born in the image of God, and human beings are not going to be homogeneous. We are going to have diversity, and it is only in diversity that we can drive creativity and innovation, because many of these autistic children have got extraordinary skills, including pattern recognition, memory, and mathematics. So we can harness those skills, and we can make use of these skills in the society in various factors. But the point that you raise, what is the role of the church? The church ought to make every person that comes to church to realize that as we present ourselves to God, we ought to think about those that they also need to be presented to God, but also those that we need to accept. That they are born this way. We get to love them. We got to embrace them. We got to harness their capabilities and so on. And it is in this uniqueness and brilliance of these individuals that the human canvas is painted even better. So the church has got a very important role to play, supporting the parents, making the parents understand and accept that they are going to live with autism. But there's a bright color. There's a very bright color of autism that we ought to look into, but also advocate to the society as such, institutions, companies, everywhere, to open doors and see how these children can make a contribution. There was a child, I think the child was 14, not my son, because he says he wants to do advocacy. This child says he can't talk, he can't speak. He says, I want to make a contribution in research on oncology, because I'm very much interested in cancer.
All right.
And the other day I was at vets and I told them, please, if there is a space, give this child an opportunity. I am sure he has got something to contribute here. So we got to embrace these children. There is a lot that we can benefit from.
Mm. Actually, very, very quite interesting responses that you gave. Now, families that are raising a child who is autistic could be having specific needs depending if they're living up. I think you talked about those who are coming from villages outside of suburbs and those who are in big cities. And what would you say are different needs needed by these families in these different settings?
So they are diverse. Some of these needs, other than the emotional needs and the understanding and this and that. So raising an autistic child, I always said to people that I feel like I've got a PhD having raised my son. Honestly, So some of the things that people struggle with for a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, is just potty training.
I see. Mm.
I mean, something as simple as that. And and these are the things that I take from the WhatsApp groups and so on. And parents are extremely frustrated. Mm. Parents are not sleeping at night because these kids, they are more active at night. Mm. And they wake up and tomorrow they have to go to school. And some of the parents, so it depends on families and where they are and what have you. Mm. And some of the parents, we are also assisting them with tax matters, where they have to claim for tax in terms of everything that they spend on the child, something that they don't know. Mm-hmm. So they can also have some rebates there and be able to invest more in terms of supporting the child. Mm-hmm. But you can imagine for a child really in the deep rural areas where they're struggling with just basic needs, that those kind of issues, how they become very much compounded, where you need to keep the baby in nappies at the age of 5 years. You need to, some of them, depending on what the parents believe in, the issues of diet and so on. So you can't even begin to talk to a parent in the rural areas and tell them, no, you need to remove a lot of sugar from the diet, because that contributes to hyperactivity. What is the child going to eat? They're eating what the family is eating.
Mm.
So it becomes, so the needs are diverse depending on families, but every family has got a need, I can tell you. Even those in affluent upmarket areas and so on, they've got their big struggles in this journey.
Yeah, thank you so much for this and for taking time, Irene. I wanted then to check, about this Gwanda Foundation before I let you go, in terms of the work that you've been able to, accomplish over the past, let's say, this year.
Segwande has been very much active. Just this past weekend, he was at the University of Northwest Potchefstroom, where they had a conference, a national conference on autism. So he was one of the speakers and he participates in many events. But I think for me, what really gives him the passion for him is when he engages. He does the public speaking. He loves it. He enjoys it so much. Mm. But I think for him and for me, where I really support him much, it's when we reach out to these families, when we reach out to these children. So everybody is talking about an autistic child, including the clinician and the parents, about how bleak the journey is. Parents are talking, families, but nobody actually talks to the child, and that's where he comes in to tell the child that you are like me, you are going to make it in life, believe in yourself, you know. And so on. And one parent we engaged with the other day, Zekwanda had to talk to her. She just left work. She was contemplating suicide and also killing the child because she could not cope. So those are the things that are very much touching that he gets involved in. And obviously, I automatically get involved in. And we assist where we can really assist. So a lot of events, big events everywhere in the city with autism, a month and various events. So that is part of his journey. But as I say, I think what really touches us is when we get in touch and we visit these families and we assist them. How do you rearrange your family? What are you dealing with? How do you introduce routine in the family so that the child can adjust nicely? The child can understand. How do you embrace them and so on? So those are some of the things that Sekwande is doing.
Beautiful stuff, man. I think it's a lot of work that you are doing. Do you now have people who come on board and say we would like to help, and how do they do that?
Sure. At the moment, it's a little bit difficult. Would like to garner as much support as possible from those who are able to help us with any resource, so that we can reach out to. So Zekwande's vision is to reach out to 100 non-autistic children in a year and help change their life. So I told him it's a big vision, but he says, yes, that's what I want to do, because I want each and every child to be. So most of the children cannot talk and do not have like the stencils that Zekwande used to communicate. And that's where the frustration comes in. And that's what we don't understand. When anybody that cannot communicate, imagine, put yourself in that situation. You can't use your hand to communicate. You can't use any sign language. You can't use anything. But you want to say something, and nobody hears you. Nobody even gives you attention. So some of the anger, some of the frustration, some of the things that we're battling to deal with autistic children, it's because somebody is not given a platform to express themselves. So imagine somebody intelligent as that, and they're just disregarded, they're disrespected, and this and that. So Zekwande says, if we can reach out to these children, if we can liberate them, that is his vision. I want to liberate 100 non-speaking autistics in the country. And if I've done that, I think I would have achieved my vision, because then they will be able to carry on the vision and so on and so on. So we really want to appreciate people that can come on board, help us buy as many stencils as possible, help us hire people and train parents in terms of how to communicate with their kids and so on. So that is the kind of really assistance that we are looking for.
How do people get in touch with you before we go?
So people can get in touch with me at my number is 082-880-1982.
082 880-1982. That is the Zekwande Foundation.
That is the Zekwande Foundation, yes.
Well, Irene, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so, so much for always making time to speak to us here at AWR. Blessings to you and your family.
Thank you so much, AWR, and thank you for giving us the opportunity all the time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.